Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad. The scripture said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We truly are excited today for another glorious time in the Lord and coming to you on this glorious afternoon. I pray that your day has been filled with nothing but the blessings of the Lord. The scripture said the blessings of the Lord make us rich and add no sorrow. And I know that there are some no sorrow blessings coming to you today. Truly, I am excited to be there in your home on today. And I want to say a special thanks to all of my friends around the world and all of my partners. I just want you to know I am truly excited about you. I'm truly excited about what the Lord is going to do in and through your life. The best is yet to come. I know you've probably been struggling and find yourself in a battle on every hand, but stay encouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Continue to pray in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith in the Lord. God has a blessing for you, and it's with your name on it, and he's going to do it. All God wants to know if you can believe him for it. And so I encourage your faith today just to be encouraged and to hold fast to the blessings of the Lord and to what God has promised that he would do. All he wants to know is, do you believe? Remember the scripture said, when he comes, he said, will he find faith? And so faith, our faith is very key to us as children of God, faith believing in absolutely every areas of your life. We're going to get into the lesson in just a few minutes, but I just feel the optionizing of the Holy Ghost just to talk with you real briefly about the sufficiency of your faith and the importance and the relevancy of having faith, even in these particular times, as to believing God. And sometimes we need to take a moment to really just to look at those areas where, you know, a little shady, where we really don't believe God. We want to, but all of the times you have seen defeat or failures or struggle in various areas is to take your faith and place it in your faith in God to give you the victory over whatever it may be. And I tell you, child of God, we are constantly going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And God is constantly challenging our faith to believe him, even in those places that seem very challenging to believe God, because you've always failed in that area, you always stumbled in that area, you always struggled in that area. It does not mean that God is not there available to help you even with that and even in that area. And so, child of God, I invite you and welcome you to consider applying God even in those areas as well of your life and trying them and watch him bless you in such a beautiful and bountiful way that it would just overtake you and bless you. Now, that just leading us right into where God wanted us to go today in talking about the abundant life. And there is a place of an abundancy that God wants his people to reside at and to experience and enjoy the abundancy of life. So I'm going to invite you, if you grab your Bibles, come on in and just have a seat with me and make yourself right at home. Because here on Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment, you are going to be empowered and enlightened with greater understanding of the things that God is doing in and through your life. I know without a shadow of a doubt, when this session is over, you are going to be empowered by God. Let's take a look at the scripture that we're going to look at on today, and that's over in Hebrews chapter number 6. verses 9 through verse number 20. And it reads on this line, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but follower of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sweared by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he attained the promise. For men verily sweared by the greater, and an oath from confrontation is to them an end of all strife. A confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of his promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that wherein the veil, whether the former runner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, John 10 and 10, it said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." God breathed life into Abram, but abundant life came by Jesus Christ, both now and forevermore. And that's what we're going to look at that the abundancy of life that came by Jesus Christ. Like a complex type topic, it has many dimensions. And so as our lesson today, we will discuss three of these dimensions, the natural life, the spiritual life, as well as the eternal life. First and most important, we should note that God is the source of all life. He determined the length of our natural lives on earth. He also has provided a way for us to live eternally with him in heaven. Beyond the natural benefit of human life that all people enjoy, Christians enjoy even greater benefits, for they are blessed with what the scriptures call life that is more abundant. Those who believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ have the opportunity to live life to its fullest. They receive blessings that cannot be measured by the material value. They are measurable only through spiritual value. The Christian lifestyle is a healthy and happy one. Peace, love, joy, resilience, contentment in spite of adverse circumstances, and strength adequate for any trials of life are some of the blessings the child of God enjoys. Social scientists have discovered that individuals do better and have happier and more prosperous lives when they love God, love their neighbors, and honor their parents and live moral lives. All humans have the natural breath of life, but Christians also have a promise of eternal life. Breathing is a natural part of being alive, but God's promise of eternal life carry a person far beyond the point where breathing stops and natural life ends. Believers have the assurance they will live forever. On the other hand, those who refuse to obey the gospel live a vastly inferior lifestyle. Further, beyond this present life, unrepentant sinners do not enjoy the promise of eternal life or bliss. The scripture describes their future state of existence as a miserable one far removed from the presence of God. Many Old Testament characters did not comprehend eternal life. They lived before Jesus Christ and were unaware of the extent of the redemptive plan he would fulfill and make possible. Today we realize the hope for eternal life with God depends entirely on sharing in Christ's quest, conquest of sin and death, and in experiencing the new birth made possible by him. The revelation about the afterlife awaits Jesus' coming. Much of the Old Testament portrays survival after death in the picture of the shadowy region of Shiloh, the Hebrew word for the grave. Psalm 6 and 5 depict a plea for the deliverance from death as an enemy. To the ancient, death was a state of non-life or non-being, a lonely place without any of the joy or comfort of life. Psalm 6 and 5 state, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" Death is properly understood as a separation. Physical death is the result of the separation of the body and the spirit. Eternal death is the separation of the spiritually dead person from God. Eternal life is made possible, here it is, by Jesus Christ, and entails an eternity where God and redeemed people live in relationship. The promise of eternal life that is given to believers surpasses any hope that even angels might have. Angels are spirit beings created before human beings. While angels have the same ability to choose right or wrong as human beings, God has not provided them with any plan of salvation or spiritual restoration once they rebel against God and his purpose for them. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 12 reads, "Unto whom it is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angel desires to look into." Now let's take a look further. God, the life giver, the gift of life by God's Spirit. In the moment preceding God's breathing the breath of life into Adam, he would have appeared to an observer much like a statue similar to that found in a wax museum. The flesh with which Adam was clothed was not alive. There was no heartbeat, no raise or fall of his chest, no movement at all until the movement of God breathed into his lungs. The Hebrew word of breath is ruah. The Greek word is pneuma. These words express the life force element that creates and sustains human existence. Life comes from God. Real life involves that which is spiritual and eternal. Jesus revealed to mankind that life is more than the acquiescence of material things. See Luke 12 and 15. Life comes from God, who is eternal. However, God facilitates eternal life by first transforming a person's spirit within through his Holy Spirit. When he fills a person with the Holy Spirit, he transforms and quickens that person's human spirit. That person receives God's presence, which will ultimately lead him to eternal life. Now, the theft of man's life by Satan. Jesus described the devil as a liar and a deceiver. In addition, he is a thief and a murderer. John 8 and 4 states, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." John 10 and 10 say, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." Now, Satan is condemned and destined to spend eternity in hell. Satan was an angel in heaven. But his self-absorption and pride caused him to challenge God and lead a rebellion of one-third of heaven's angels. Consequently, he and those angels that follow his lead were cast from heaven and condemned to everlasting torment. See Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15, Ezekiel 28, verses 14 through 19, Matthew 25 through 41, Jude 6, and Revelation 12 and 4. It is important to understand that sin has a double consequence. First, sin drives a person of the communion with God, both in this life and in the life to come. Second, sin robs a person of the eternal life God had planned for him to enjoy and is destined that the person to eternal punishment. The only antidote for sin is purification by the sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ. Without forgiveness of sin, mankind is set to suffer the consequences of his willful disobedience. Only through the new birth can one be free from the punishment of sin. Punishment for sin is not God's infliction of vengeance, but it is the natural end result of the very nature of sin. On the other hand, God's gift to mankind is forgiveness of sin. When we truly repent, God forgives us. His forgiveness of sin restores our communion with God and provides us with the promise of eternal life. Satan did not want mankind to have life. He lost through his own self-will. Consequently, Satan set about to deceive and ruin mankind, which began in the Garden of Eden. His attempts to deceive and destroy man appeared throughout the Bible and history. If he could not have heaven, then he surely did not want mankind to inherit it either. Let's look further. God's plan to return life to mankind. Satan was successful in deceiving Eve and causing both her and Adam to fall to temptation. He led them into the sin of disobedience that resulted in their losing their earthly immortality. After their fall from innocence, God barred the man and the woman from the Garden of Eden, and he kept his word by pronouncing upon them the sentence of eventual death. When Adam and Eve finally died at the right old age, Genesis 5 and 5, the breath of human life left their bodies and returned to God, who has given it to them. And you can see Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. While God judged and punished Adam and Eve appropriately, he also gave them a glimpse of future hope. See Genesis 3, verses 14 through 15. God had a plan to enable mankind to once again have access to immortality. 3,000 years later, God made the way to eternal life available through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God became incarnate through the man Christ Jesus. See 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. The immortality, the eternal Holy Spirit of God took upon him human life through the flesh of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We call this the incarnation. Now, Jesus grew up as the son of Mary and Joseph, but soon it was evident that he was more than just a man. In Christ was the perfect combination of humanity and deity. Mary was his human mother, but the Holy Spirit was his divine father, Matthew 1 and 20. He was Emmanuel, which means God with us, Matthew 1 and 23. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Galatians 2 and 9. See also 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. Why did God manifest himself in human flesh? God came in flesh that he might redeem mankind from sin, Matthew 1 and 21. Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross in the stead of sinful mankind, paying the price up for forgiveness of sin. The redemptive blood of Jesus Christ was spilled to purchase salvation for mankind and to take back the keys to death and hell. Revelation 1 and 18. I am him that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus provided access to immortality by what he did for us on the cross. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only one who can forgive our sins and provide us with eternal life, abundant life through Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at the pattern in Adam and Eve. God gave Adam life. The book of Genesis described the creative work of God, who with only one expectation made all things by simply speaking them into existence. However, God made Adam as a special creation. God made him from the earth, dust, and did something special when he breathed into Adam the breath of life. The scripture does not reveal God breathing into any other form, life form, to emanate it, just Adam. And God breathed into his nostril, and Adam had the essence of eternal life present within him. Adam was living in the beautiful garden, but he was lonely. Genesis 2 and 18. God made Adam with a built-in desire for companionship. While he enjoyed the loveliness of the Garden of Eden, he could not help but notice that all the other creatures existed in both male and female form. In response to Adam's plight, God put him to sleep and took ribs from his side and created a female to complement Adam and Eve. She became his helper and a human companion who was like him, but also different from him. Adam was comforted by Eve, not by the grandeur of the garden. Eve was a helpmeet to Adam, Genesis 2 and 20. Eve became the mother of the human race. All consequent human beings traced their roots back to Adam and Eve. Just as Eve expressed a nurturing spirit to her husband and offspring, so it is the natural that women the world over show care and love to their family. Moreover, it is unnatural for that spirit of love and nurture not to exist. God gave the world the Christ. After the fall, the world was dying in sin and in desperate need of redemption. Consequently, God gave a Savior to the world, and through Christ Jesus, John 3:16, all mankind received the opportunity to receive salvation and abundant life. The sin and the fall from innocence that follow Adam and Eve's disobedient act in the Garden of Eden has affected and infected all humankind. Death followed their violation of God's law, just as the Lord had warned, and the same fate has fallen upon all mankind, Hebrews 9 and 27. We know of only two exceptions to the common fate of death, Enoch and Elijah. Even though they bypassed the unusual and normal route of death, they apparently were changed in the moment of their translation from life on earth to life in eternity. See 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 53. Since the day of Adam and Eve, death has struck the human race as a reminder of the penalty of sin. See Romans 3 and 23. However, Jesus Christ came to change forever the future of all mankind. To provide mankind with eternal life, Jesus submitted to sin's demand through death on the cross. But he conquered death and took captivity captive. Ephesians 4 and 8. Jesus looked death in the eyes and allowed it to overwhelm him, but only for 3 days and nights. Then he rose from the dead. Ephesians 4, 8 through 10 state, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descend first into the lower part of the earth. He that descended in the same also ascended up far above heavens, that he might fill all things. The world needed a comforter. Consequently, the Lord sent the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, to lead, guide, and comfort his people. John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:13. Just as Adam longed for someone to be with him as a constant companion and source of comfort, members of the human race long for one who would help them in their daily struggles. God came into the human arena as a participant, not as a spectator. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Moreover, following his death and resurrection, he returned as the comforter to provide the comfort and leadership desperately needed by all mankind. God also had given to mankind the secret to real life on earth. Happiness and joy do not exist in abundance of things acquired in life. Rather, real life and abundant life exists through the life the Holy Spirit brings to those who will receive him. So here we find is that life, and that more abundantly, it exists through the Holy Spirit. And all are able to have the Holy Spirit because God has provided it for all mankind. Now let's look at life more abundant. There is abundant life. God commanded Adam to be fruitful and multiply, Genesis 1:22. Although it is not the only secret to abundant life, the relationship developed through family and friends are vital to living life in its abundance. As John Donne observed with familiar words, no man is an island or lives to himself. Further, the scripture also revealed that having many children brings great joy and happiness, Psalms 127:5. Socially isolated persons are generally unhappy. They have no one to share their joys and sorrow with. We greatly minimize their pleasure and exacerbate their pain. It is a fact that having a network of family and friends tends to cultivate a longer and healthy life. Family and friends offer network of social support that reduces the risk of social isolation. Let's take a look. According to a website, www.teencarecenter.org, research shows the following is true. Good relationships have been linked with many health benefits, including protection against cardiovascular disease. Across a number of surveyed married individuals reported greater happiness and life satisfaction and had a lower risk of depression than those that are unmarried counterparts. Across all causes of death, unmarried people have a higher death rate than those who are married. Long-term studies show that being married provides much greater protection for morality for men compared to women. The death rate is 50% higher among unmarried women and 250% higher among unmarried men. Positive spousal influence and involvement may encourage healthy behaviors and discourage unhealthy behavior. Married persons, particularly women, appear to have a health advantage relative to their unmarried counterparts through the increased availability of socioeconomic resources. And that does not say that having friends and having that family, even that church family, coming together and things and fellowshipping and things is another form of family and being together and to encourage and strengthen one another as well. So don't think because you're not married that you don't have someone there. You do have that family, your church family, and people and friends who love you and care about you as well. Even after death, our influence will live on in the lives of those who have touched, we have touched, and with whom we have interact. We touch our families, friends, business associates, and even the person on the street with whom we have shared ourselves and our belief in our lifestyle. To live the good life is to live it by sharing it with others. There is no more unhappy than a monetary miser unless it is a spiritual one. And another aspect of living in an abundant life involves tapping into the spiritual resource offered to us through Jesus Christ. Through Christ, we enjoy abundant life and a life that will exceed abundance and more abundant. There is life more abundant. Let's take a look at that. Jesus' statement of life more abundantly, John 10:10, involves receiving redemption and joining Christ in his purpose. The key to living a more abundant life is receiving the wonderful gift of redemption Christ gave to us. The entire purpose of the incarnation was to provide forgiveness of sin and salvation through Jesus Christ. Only through the new birth is one able to access the kind of life on earth that is more abundant. The only way to access abundant eternal life is to be received into heaven. Receiving salvation alone is insufficient, however, for experiencing the fullest dimensions of abundant life. A person also must share the gospel with others, thereby joining the mission of Jesus Christ on earth. Why is sharing the gospel so rewarding? Surely it must be because the result of sharing the gospel have eternal implications. The message of salvation brings hope to the hopeless, life to the dying. Receiving the Holy Ghost empowers a person with salvation and also with the power of effectively carrying the witness of Jesus Christ to the world. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1:8. God commanded his disciples to go to preach the gospel, Matthew 28:19. The continual purpose of Christ's gospel is centered in reaching out to and touching the lives of others. All believers are to heed his commandment. There are no exceptions. For unhappy, purposeless people wondering what to do with their life, Jesus provided the immediate answer. They should get busy sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Ghost baptism, it provides supernatural power to accomplish spiritual exploit otherwise unattainable. The Holy Spirit also provides everything a person needs to function as an embassy of Jesus Christ. Paul lived an amazing life despite his many afflictions, described in 2 Corinthians 10:12. However, Paul declared he was willing to experience them so that the power of Christ may rest upon them. 2 Corinthians 12:9. He further explained the sufficiency of his suffering by saying God's grace was sufficient and God's strength was made perfect in his weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. In Philippians 4:11-13, Paul explained how God's power enabled him to accept whatever happened to him. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that right there in itself is where we can obtain the abundancy of life, because the things that we couldn't do in the natural realm, we can do it through Christ which strengtheneth us. I'm just finishing my first book, and I'm very excited about that. But as well as graduated from seminary with my doctorate degree, as well as pastoring a church as well as being involved with our council in our district, as well as being a chairperson over two entities within our district, and being a wife, being a mother, and as well as being a grandmother, and as well as being a woman. And all of these things that, and blessings, they're not just things, but blessings that God has so graciously bestowed on my life to his glory, I have to do it through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And my abundancy comes through the fact that I can enjoy doing the things that I do in and through by the power of God. And I heard the Holy Ghost just say, you know, to look well in the matter, he blessed me to do three books. I did a pictorial book for my family to capture our history. Then this book, Self-Care, Liberating African-American Christian Women Leaders Through Prayer and Forgiveness, as well as a workbook called Divine Touch. So these three things that was birthed out of just this year was nothing purely less than the supernatural strength and power of God. It was God that helped me. It was God that fortified me. It was through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ to enable me to do that, as well as to go to Guyana and go and travel the world too as well. And so all these things have just taken place just in this year. And when I look at that and marvel at the glory of God and the blessing of God, truly you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. I was sharing with the church a couple of weeks ago. It's one thing of living, but when you live in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, that puts you into a totally, totally different dimension, tapping into the supernatural, tapping into the power of God, into the abundancy of life. It's phenomenal. It's a tremendous blessing that God has given unto his body. And so we as children of God, we cannot live beneath our means and living beneath that which God has given to us as children of God is living life outside of him. Oh, mashatorobo shekea, oratabashenderea. And so here I invite you to consider, as the scripture has said, for us to live and have our being in Christ Jesus. And he said, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do it all. Everything, every word, every deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Oh, shatoraboshiketa. When you do it, I could just feel the power of God when I even say that name. The power of God just exudes life. It exudes strength. It exudes power. It exudes the enabling power and to empower you to accomplish the task, to be the witness for Jesus Christ, to share the good news. Oh, my God, now, when I just think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, you know, my soul cries out, hallelujah, I praise God for saving me. I could just feel the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by just speaking about the name. There's power that is in the name. And the scripture admonishes us and speaks to our heart that whatsoever you do in do it all in the name of Jesus. And so if you're not doing it in the name of Jesus and living it and allowing Christ to live and move and have your being in Christ Jesus, then you're living beneath your privilege as a child of God. And God wants you to step into that abundancy of life. Well, you say, Pastor, how can I get to that abundancy that you're speaking about? Because I want that abundancy. I want to live a life every day in the abundancy of God. Well, if you've ever been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance, and begin to live your life in Jesus Christ, So did you see those three steps? Act before. Repent of your sin. Be baptized in Jesus' name. Take it on the bride, but being engrafted into the body of Christ. Then being filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, that same breath that was breathed into Adam, being breathed into your life, God's Spirit breathing into you, the Pneuma or the Ruah, the Holy Spirit, and things being breathed into you. Then choosing to live your life in the name of Jesus. And whatsoever you do in words and deeds, you doing it through the name. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthening me. He went on to say, you know, in Philippians 4:11-13, Paul explained how God's power enabled him to accept whatever happened to him. Now, living in the abundance does not mean that we're not going to be having tests or trials or challenges or things that come to push us to our to the edge or push us past our boundaries. But what it does, it gives us the power to accept and to live or go through that thing with joy and abundancy of peace in our heart and mind, knowing that God is going to work things out for our good. It may not feel comfortable at the time. It may seem like it's a struggle right now, but we have the blessed assurance, which anchors our soul, that knowing that he that will come shall come and he will not tarry, it allows us to grab a hold to our faith and hold on to God as we go through this transformative experience, because it's going to transform our life. Whatever that challenge may come, it comes to cause a transformation in our life. It either going to cause us to grow, or it's going to cause us to come into a greater awareness of who God is or in many facets of his attributes and character. We are going to gain from every test and trial. We are going to gain an abundancy of life from that thing. Oh, child of God, come on and shout hallelujah. It's not here to kill you, and it's not there to overthrow you or to cause you to make a shipwreck, but it is there, and it's going to undergird you. It's going to encourage and build in you character, temperance, kindness, meekness, gentleness, patience, so that you can hold fast and that you can bear the fruit of God's righteousness and the fruit of the Spirit of God. So it's all working for our good. Even when it looks, our worst of days is our best of days in time, because God is working something in and through our life for his glory. The scriptures say that we are glazing stock, that we die daily, and that sometimes we're even crucified and things. But we die that somebody else may live. We die to our reputation. We die to getting our way. We die to expressing sometimes that disappointment or the different things that are coming up against you. We die out to that somebody else may live, because they're watching us go through that test, go through that trial, or going through that tribulation. And guess what? Just like the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb when Mary came there, guess what? Life is leaping into somebody else's life because they see you going through with a good spirit, with a hardened mind of rejoicing, and with it can hear you saying, but God is going to work it out. God is going to work things out. God is going to see us through. God is going to make a way out of it. Even though it don't feel comfortable, you're still declaring and bringing God in the center of things. It just brought me to the mind. The Holy Ghost just pushed my spirit and things back to last Sunday at church. God gave us a word to the people of God, how he called us to his righteousness and called us for many multiple things. But one of the things he said to tell the people of God, and as I was sharing with them, he said, when you bring God into your wilderness, he said, I will dwell with you in your wilderness. Because God said, I dwell in the midst of praise. So in your wilderness experience, that's when praise needs to break out. Oh, I hope you caught that, child of God. When it seems like you backed up against the wall and don't know which way to turn, or know which way it's going to be out, and everything seems like it's closing in on you. When you start praising God, or when you start lifting your voice up and saying, God, I know you see me. God, I know you're a way maker. God, I know you are sufficient. God, I know you'll make a way out of nowhere. God, you are the provider, the Jehovah Jireh. God, you are my healer, my Jehovah Rapha. When you begin to start lifting him up right there where you at, God said, now you bringing me in. Now you are bringing me in to the situation. Now you are causing life to begin to burst forth, of knowing that your faith is being ignited with the hope and being able to believe and trust God is going to see you through. I come to tell you, child of God, that there's no test and no trial that can come up against you that God did not know about it. But what God is saying that is not about the test and it's not about the trial, but what it really matters to God is how we going through our test and our trial. Are we going fixated on the situation and speaking what is happening and what you're feeling about the situation? Or have you chosen to move into the route or the place where the abundance is by saying, God got my back. God knew this before I got into this. God is going to work things out. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, he is going to provide for me every day. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. What are you declaring? And what are you decreeing in the midst of the situation? Because that is very key as we live our lives out and walk this journey. God said, I have enabled the body. I have equipped the body. He said, I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's already provided it for us. But what we have to do is go back to the Word of God. We must go back to prayer and praying and talking to God and letting them know even how you feel. And then get up and find the scripture about your situation. Go look in your, and God, give me a scripture about my situation so that I can speak life and not death. And so the more we speak life, the more of the abundancy of peace, the more of the abundancy of joy, the more of the abundancy of even contentment will embody your heart, mind, and soul. And so in that place where God wants us to be of that abundancy of life, operating and doing the work and the will of the Lord. Don't you know the more you give out, I tell you, child of God, the more I give out for the people of God, either teaching or sharing or just visiting and doing, I'm gaining more and more life because it is life fulfilling as I share the good news, as I touch the lives of individuals, that brings life to me. And so if you're not touching somebody's life and things by doing good or kind and things, you are not experiencing all of the abundancy that God had for us. I tell you, when my children was growing up, I tell you, one of the greatest things that I just absolutely love was when it was Christmas time, as well as around their birthday time. But Christmas seemed like it was just such a very special time for us in the home and things, being a single parent and things, going and getting the tree and things and just sharing. But many times we would get up in the morning, we would share what we're thankful to God about, and we talked about the Christmas story, and then we also sung some caroling or some songs before any of us opened up any of the gifts. We wanted to honor God first. And then the thing that was such a blessing to me is that seeing the smile upon their face, seeing their face and their countenance just light up just like that Christmas tree, and seeing their eyes just, you know, just begin to be enlarged because they are so overwhelmed by joy. And that joy just spilled over onto me just seeing them happy. And so it is that when we are helping somebody else or touching somebody else's life and things, we can experience the life that they are receiving just by the smile on their face or just by the contentment down in their heart, mind, and soul, how it would come back and bless us as children of God. So I say, child of God, during this time, remember, step into that abundancy and choose in your mouth. I tell you, sometimes I get up in the morning sometime and I just say in my spirit, I am going to live this life today in the here and now, because tomorrow sufficient is for tomorrow's journey. Tomorrow going to take care of itself and things. I don't care what's waiting on tomorrow. I'm living in the here and now today, and I'm going to enjoy the abundancy right here in the life today. And so sometimes I get up and say, I'm going to enjoy life and that more abundantly on today. And I tell you, once you come start declaring that and decreeing that, you are going to see the power of God being released in your life in a profound way, because you've chosen to decree the blessings of the Lord. And the scripture said the blessings of the Lord maketh us rich and add no sorrow. And you can say, I'm not going to have no sorrows today because God's blessings are making me rich. And when we begin to confess those things and take the words off the page and speak it out in the atmosphere and things, then you're going to see a lot of life taken forth. And saying, God, you are my shepherd, I shall not want, and things, God, you're ordering my steps aright. God, I don't know which way to turn, but Father, you're going to order my step aright. You're going to lead and guide me into all truth. Then also confessing the word of the Lord when it says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so when you find yourself don't find a way out and everything seems like it's closing in and you have to make a decision or you got to make a move or you have to do something, I invite you to just to start saying these simple words. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, thank you for leading, guiding, and directing me. Again, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Lord, thank you for leading and guiding me into truth, into all truth. Order my steps. Lay it in my spirit. Tell me what I should do, God. And once you begin to yield over to God like that, God, through his Holy Spirit, because he said the Spirit is a teacher, and it comes to lead and guide us into all truth. So what you have done, you have just acknowledged the fact that you are now moving into all truth and the truth that God has for that situation because you stopped and acknowledged God. And so once we begin to yield to God and yield to what his word said and taking the promises and taking the word of the Lord and living in those things, living it out in our life daily, out of these principles, you're going to find yourself empowered. And that's why I love preaching. I love praying. I love all of those things. But one of the greatest things that I find that I truly love, too, is teaching. Because you can become victorious living through the word of God. Because being empowered by the principle of the word of God. And how that we are looking at the implications as well as contextualizing the relevancy of those things or the word of the Lord to our lives today, applying it practically to our lives. And it's just as simple as saying, God, lead me today. Guide me into the path that you have for me today. God, protect my children. Order their steps aright. Lead and guide them into truth all day. Just that simple of asking God, inviting him into that situation and into the lives of your family and your children's children, because this is promises unto them as well. I don't care what they're doing now. I don't care how far they are away from God. I don't care how they're drifting away or making bad decision, wrong decision, or maybe decided to flat out not even go in that way. But you can be the intercessor and intercede. That's what Job did. He gave alms, and he offered up sacrifices on behalf of his children. And God blessed him in spite of all he had gone through and losing all of his family. God blessed him with a whole new family. But God did bless him. And so I don't care how bad things may look or how things may seem, the God in which we serve, he's able to do it exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Here's the catch. According to the power that worketh within you. That's why it's key to have the Holy Ghost. That is the power that's going to work in our lives and things. And so that we can partake of that abundancy. It's very vital. It's key to have it. Read Acts chapter 1. Read the whole book of Acts. That's the history book for the church. And that will give you a greater understanding and revelation about the Holy Ghost. Now, one of the other things is when you go to read your Bible, begin to say, God, open up my understanding. Don't approach the word saying, and don't neglect yourself of not reading the Bible by saying, I can't, it's really hard and it's comprehensive. It's hard for me to read and hard for me to understand. Well, guess what? That's deceptive. And that's a deceptive thought from the adversary that want to wedge in our minds as children of God. What we have to do is take another approach. And this approach would be is saying, God, as I read this word, open up my understanding, enlighten me, give me understanding of what I read, and then start reading it. Believe God heard you. Believe God is going to open up your understanding. Now when you start reading, you are reading with understanding. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. What we have to do, even though the disciples said, God, help by my unbelief. Maybe we need to go back and say, God, help my unbelief. Help me to believe you in those areas that I'm struggling with that you're able to do. And we all are struggling with something, but we have access to God at every station of our life to come back to him and to begin to ask him to help us. So I pray that this one has been a helpful and practical application to help to empower you as you're moving forward in God and in the things of God. Now, an abundant life is not necessarily rich in material things. Abundant is more a matter of spiritual stewardship and appreciation for what one has than a careful accounting of one's goods. God wants us to live abundantly. God gave the gift of life to mankind at creation. But soon Satan tempted them and stole their innocence and guilt of continuing life. Consequently, all mankind faces the sheer penalty of death that God placed on Adam and Eve following the fall. But God also gave a promise of hope for man's future, the promise of a future redeemer through whom mankind could once again gain access to eternal life. And I want to say and encourage you that once you gain that eternal life and once you gain that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let nobody and nothing take that from you and things. If you're establishing a time with God, you and God, try to keep to that. And if you're not able to keep to it, then, reestablish a time that you can come back and reconnect with God and commune with God, because that's your lifeline. You want to stay connected. You want to stay in the vine. And staying in the vine is being by reading, praying, reading the word of God, praying, and staying, having your devotion and having time with God so that you can grow, because through that, that's where the sap of the strength in life come through, is staying connected with God, praying in the Holy Ghost, sometimes getting up in the morning and just take 5 minutes and just pray in the Holy Ghost, or 1 minute, then increase, or 15 seconds, then increase it and keep increasing it, because the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the stronger you're getting, the stronger your faith becomes in things. That's our gift to do that. On our path to eternal life, God also has given us the opportunity to enjoy abundant life. Through the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, we are able to experience the fullness and deepest level of life abundance. And so as you employ those principles in your life, you're going to see a resounding change of what God is going to do in and through your life, child of God. Start using it even when you get off this air, and watch God do something great in strengthening and fortify you. Remember, in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Child of God, don't stop asking God. Don't stop knocking, and don't stop seeking. Continue on and watch God do it and open up great and bountiful doors unto you, because he loves you with an everlasting love. It has indeed been a pleasure being with you on today and to share this moment in time with you. I pray as never before that God will richly bless you abundantly and that you would tap into the abundancy of life. So, child of God, until we meet again, this has been a blessing. May the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow. Go out and employ those particular principles that you learned today and watch God do it in and through your life. Until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore in and through your life. God bless you. Bye-bye.